technologically, can you create this or recreate this with instruments?
Well, the brain stimulation device that I work with is patterned after Dr. Michael A. Persinger of Laurentian University, his equipment. It was also developed by Stan Koren, whose name I always like to include because he's an exceptionally fine and wonderful fellow. But we've had out-of-body experiences. Dr. Persinger has had some experiences of light. I've had a couple of reports of people sensing presences, not unlike the sense of the experience of God that can happen in near-death experiences, mm-hmm. which many times is not a visual experience, but rather a sense of his presence that looms so large it dominates the experience. Related to the life review and the capacity to have a greater grasp on what's going on inside your own subconscious, I'll use for lack of a better word, we've had some instances where people have opened up the capacity for lucid dreaming. These experiences, now as far as the episodic near-death experience, going through phase after phase after phase, in principle it might be possible with someone who's very sensitive to altered states and the right session design, first stimulating this structure here and then stimulating that structure there. But in order to set the stage, we'd have to put someone into a state of fear that would be comparable to the fear that a person experiences when they believe they're about to die. And I have a little bit of an ethical problem with that one. Perhaps some courageous psychonaut will eventually appear, or I'd actually want to do it in some kind of spiritual center where there would be support for the person.
They say we use, what, 10% of our brain? Do you believe that?
Well, yes, I do, but I also believe that if you use 100% of your brain, you're dead.
Yeah, I was going to say, but through the stimulus, could you increase that to 20%, 30%?
No, I don't think so. You see, when one structure is made very active, neighboring structures tend to quiet down.
Uh-huh. It balances out.
Yeah, so it balances. Equilibrium is the word I like, but balance is pretty good, too. If what that refers to, we only use 10% of our brains, is that our brain consistently operates at 10% of the total electrical potential. If you used 100% of your brain, you would have, for example, one mechanism that inhibits salivation being fully active, while another mechanism that excites salivation would also be fully active. A mechanism that prevents your arm from moving upward would be happening at the same time as a mechanism that moves it downward would be initiated. So we would probably go into something like an epileptic seizure. And if it went on too long, we would, we'd die.
Someone emailed me today, Todd, and I didn't see this, but they said on the Today Show this morning, there was a husband and wife, scientist, and they both had chips implanted in their heads. And they were able to communicate via telepathy. Now, I didn't see this. I don't know if it happened. I couldn't find it. Have you heard of anything like this?
No, I haven't heard of anything like that. But Dr. Persinger has done some research stimulating one person with a special configuration of this magnetic stimulation. In fact, I just recently completed a PC version of the same device known as the Shiva magnetic stimulation.
Okay.
Shiva. It's also on the website at spiritualbrain.com.
Okay.
And he was able to get people to actually share a sort of telepathic communication. And he noted in one of the research papers that the effect was a little more pronounced when he worked with couples who were able to finish one another's thoughts, who already had that kind of incipient telepathic communication. And I believe that what's happening is that congruence between two brains that are used to being in one another's presence, that are accustomed to the magnetic output from the other person's brain, that they can, in fact, share information between the two brains. The way the experiment was set up was that a person receiving the magnetic stimulation sat in a soundproof chamber, and the other person, their brother, their sister, their husband, their wife, these were intimates, as they're called, would be looking at a set of pictures, and they were asked to share any memories, kind of stream of consciousness, any memories that the picture might bring up of times they had shared with the other person. And then they would record another stream of consciousness type of narrative from the person receiving the stimulation. And when they put the two together, using actually 40 students picked at random, were asked to listen to read the two accounts and assign the greatest degree of agreement. And what they found was that these people were actually sharing images. They were sharing memories. When one person was thinking of one thing, the other person would be thinking of something quite similar. And these were not trained psychics. And I personally would be very fascinated to repeat the experiment with people who are actually trained to do psychic work.